Blog Talk Radio.
Let's see. Chilling on a Sunday afternoon, just thinking about, well, you know, we're going to talk right down to earth in a language here that everyone, well, can understand, one that everyone can relate to. So, actually, I think it sounds better if we're just going to be chill about this, if you will, in a radio voice.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Let's get this shindig started, but before we do, I would all ask that you please bow your heads, moment of silence for a life that has just been lost. Daphne Unger, a.k.a. Shannon Sparrow, 1975 to 2021. We ask that you please keep her in your prayers. We ask that you take this moment of silence, and if you please, I apologize for that little interruption. So, with that being said, please take a moment of silence in life and loving memory of Shannon Sparrow. My apologies again for all these technological interruptions. Let's get this under consideration that her life will never be forgotten. It will be remembered and cherished in loving memory of Shannon Sparrow. Please stand by. All right. So, this is a Sunday, obviously, and Pizza Simpson will be joining us fairly shortly. We have a few subjects to discuss, and I'm pretty sure we're going to make points. We're going to be valid. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show my loyal, devoted co-host, Pizza Simpson. Who else?
What's up, good buddy? Let's get into this, man.
Yes, let's shall. Let's do it.
Oh, so first off, how was your weekend?
Oh, man. It was busy and very hectic.
right on. Same here. Did you see the Nia Jax, Charlotte Flair little shindig this week on Monday Night Raw?
I caught tidbits of it, dude. I mean, I watched the replay, to be honest with you. I'm not sure I understand. Did we just see Nia Jax pin the champion? And that just confuses the ever living daylights of me. Yeah, it's just I don't know what to make of it.
You know, that's not the part that I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how the match broke down and it just seemed like all the communication was completely out the window and they were just kind of scrapping at times. And at a certain point, Charlotte Flair just kind of gave up and kind of gave Nia Jax a slap in the head. It almost looked like she was saying, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
As you're talking about, the match looks like an entire shoot. Yeah, probably. Nia's not.
Yes, Nia is not that good. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm referring to, my friend.
I've been saying this since day one about her. She's a nice person, but as a wrestler, Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know what she does, to be honest with you. And in the back, when they're discussing crap, I'm not in the locker room. I just assume from what I saw, holy shit. If I were Charlotte, we'd be having words in the back. And I honestly, I wouldn't want to wrestle her. I would not, if I was a female, I would not want to wrestle Nia Jax.
You know what I think it is? I think it is that Charlotte can get through and have a good match, and I don't think Nia Jax is capable of having a good match, no matter who you put her with, and she just doesn't get it. I don't think, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be that guy, but I just don't think she knows how to work. And I don't think she cares.
I don't know what Nia's mentality is. We all don't. Okay, look, I don't know what is going through Nia's mind, but you're right. She, no matter who you have put her with, like they put her with Alexa Bliss, she was elevated by Alexa Bliss. And then they put her with Shayna Baszler because Shayna really didn't have any inkling of what was going on. And she's like, I wonder how that conversation went. You know, oh, by the way, you're going to be paired with Nia Jax. What? They did win women's tag team championships, okay. But I think Shayna Baszler carries that team, or is still carrying that team. And the fact that she went up against Charlotte Flair, what are we running out of women on the roster? We couldn't just, I mean, obviously you can't call up NXT people at will, but it's like, who's big enough on the women's roster and from NXT aside from Raquel Gonzalez or Jesus Christ? I forget. You know, there's somebody else. I don't know if she got cut or not from the NXT UK roster, but she was part of the Mae Young Classic. Yeah, and there's really no woman. Oh, Doudrop. Doudrop could, but then poor Doudrop would probably be dropped on her head by Nia with her Samoan drops. And, it just, like you said,
That's true.
Like, I mean, after watching that match, dude, I was like, what the hell did I just witness, dude?
Like, yeah, I wouldn't say it was a shoot, though. I definitely think it was a breakdown in communication and definitely frustration and just overcame the both of them. I think they got it back together towards the end of the match, and they were able to get to a finish. But as you saw, if you saw the finish, Charlotte didn't stay sit down for too long, and she got the fuck out of there as soon as she could.
I think Charlotte was basically thinking what any wrestler would be thinking, and that is, dude, why, you know, as long as the audience doesn't completely tear you apart, they're lucky that was not an East Coast crowd, which would have been more brutal towards that because there's a lot of smarks that sit in the audience that think they know what the fuck they're talking about. But the point is, if you don't pay attention during your match or even before then, because they go over this stuff before they get in that ring. And so for her to sit there and look like she's totally unprepared and talking about Nia, that would piss me the fuck off royally because you're in front of a global audience that is going to tear you to ribbons. And luckily,
yeah,
like
bro.
You said, It just, I'm not going to spend my time ranting and raving about that because you know what.
Yeah,
saying,
that
so.
Wasn't really, well, that wasn't that good, my guy. What else is going on? Yeah, we got to talk about this NXT revamp.
I'll go first.
I'm gonna say what everybody feels, that NXT that we know and love is completely dead. And if John Laurinaitis and Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard are all on the fucking NXT onto NXT now, it's not gonna be good, man. It's gonna be bad, and it's gonna be like first season NXT, and I'm not talking about like NXT with like, you know, Seth Rollins and Jinder Mahal and stuff like that. It's not going to be good like that. It's going to be back to the old days when they were doing like challenges and it was like a wannabe reality show with Wade Barrett and Heath Slater. NXT's dead, dude.
It was lifeless to begin with, and now that they've got stereotyped characters like Aunt Saray and Gigi Dolan and, how do I put this? The colors turn to like the ugly windbreaker pants colors from the 90s, and I'm like, why did you change the colors? And not just the change of logo, but the feel, the overall atmosphere of NXT is just like, I honestly have a big question mark. It's like, okay, we all know that Vince claims to care about the product, but what really is going to be obvious, if people like L.A. Knight or whomever looks like a bodybuilder, and what's going to happen with I don't really care about these. I don't mean to be mean here, but Hit Row, I hope you hit the wayside. I really do. But knowing Vince, he's going to turn it into another Nation of Domination type shit, okay? And three, I don't know what the women are going to be doing in NXT. I mean, they haven't done shit since, for a very long time. And that the division's kind of going to hinge upon Raquel Gonzalez. Yikes.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. First with Hit Row, they have a giant guy in there. They have that guy, AJ from the Collector Show. He's gigantic, so and if he can move and is athletic in any way, he's in a good position because that's what they're going for. They want big. So that's good. Swerve Scott can work. Swerve Scott is awesome. And he's a good wrestler, my friend, but if they're going in an opposite direction, he's going to have a really awesome personality to stay around, you know, because he's also very, very small. And then they got a sexy chick with them. So, as you know, having a sexy chick worked into your package is hot, but it's definitely a plus. You know what I'm saying? So, Hit Row can be – they might have a chance, bro. They might have a chance.
I mean, my personal feel on that group is like I don't know. They just strike me as there's no one to challenge them, and there's like three other there's Pete Dunne's group, then there's Diamond Mine, and then there was there's no more Undisputed because it overstayed its welcome, and now we've got very limited individual power on NXT. No one really stands out except for Samoa Joe.
They're currently feuding with Phantasma. Yeah. So
yeah, they're shooting with Phantasma.
I mean,
they're picking on the small
I mean, Hit Row. I mean, there's some stuff for them to do as a group. So it's not completely I think you're jumping the gun on them. And I do agree, Raquel Gonzalez is definitely not ready for WWE Raw. She's not ready for SmackDown. She's getting better. She's getting better. I don't know, man. That's not really what I'm worried about. I'm really worried about, like, the in-ring stuff is not what I'm worried about. I'm worried, just more worried about the overall aesthetic of NXT. I'm worried about, you know, with Bruce Pritchard being there, he's a gimmick guy because he thinks that's what Vince likes. So he's going to try to come up with a lot of stuff like that. And John Laurinaitis is a body guy. So all these big body guys might be coming in. And there's going to be a lot of green fucking goose shit turd guys there. It's going to be bad, man.
One of those dudes, I can tell you, for a big dude, he can move and kind of work. You generic big guy, Duke Hudson, who was in the NXT Breakout Tournament. And, like, you know what I'm saying? Guys like him are going
I've
to
heard
get
of him.
Major.
Yeah.
Just like he had a match with Kyle O'Reilly, and O'Reilly essentially carried the entire match. Hudson, it's not saying that he doesn't have skill, but this is what frightens me as a small dude. And as a, you know, person that's been around wrestling as a fan and as a former worker, when you see Vince McMahon or hear his name, this is what I think. Vince McMahon loves the big dudes. Not just Laurinaitis, or it's not just Pritchard. For a small dude coming in there like Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne, you really can't toy with them. But Vince will say, yes, I can. And it's just like, in my mind, NXT is basically going to be taken over by the big dudes. And it's just like, when you started with the Hit Row mess, I was like, an example of big dude. All the big dudes, why would you let go of Bronson Reed? Why would you let go of Keith Lee? Okay.
Keith Lee hasn't been released.
NXT now, well, I know, but I'm just thinking ahead like normal and jumping to conclusion. But in my own mind, dude, in the state of NXT, the aesthetics, as you put it, my biggest thing is, it's like, what to do, you know, if you're a competitor that's small, because that's why I said in my mind of all minds, you know, it's like Dunn, O'Reilly, Roderick Strong. Those guys are not 6'5" tall, 235 pounds. Cameron Grimes isn't that big either, but it's just a matter of, like, where are you going to put the competitors that have been there for a few years now? Are they going to touch base with them and be like, well, I guess you'll be jobbing to these guys now? That's my biggest thing. It's like, okay, you know, a guy that's been there as a promoter that came in and he had guys like Ultimate Warrior, and Roddy Piper wasn't the biggest of dudes, but then you had Hulk Hogan and Legion of Doom, and all these guys were above 6 feet tall. The only dude under that watermark was Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels, back in the day, was like your precursor to guys like Adam Cole, and who's no longer with the NXT brand anymore. He's not with WWE, period. But my biggest thing with Vince is, like, his trademark has been known to not give the little guy the chance. Daniel Bryan, anybody? CM Punk, anyone? He's not really insistent upon those names because he's had the luxury of big guys like Batista, Triple H, Stone Cold, The Undertaker. Even Mick Foley's no slouch. He's about 6'5". But what comes along with big guys, you can't just be big and have no talent, Warlord. The thing is,
Fucker.
I'm just saying, like, the whole thing with NXT and my mindset is, it's like, what the biggest fear for me and for maybe other people is, like, now what kind of spread is Vince going to have on the card? Because we all know that he has a business boner for big dudes, and that's heir apparent. You know, look who came to Raw and then disappeared or didn't even appear at all, Lars Sullivan. It's just like, God, dude, are we living in 1996, 97? We're going to come and we're going to present Attitude. Christ, please, for the love of God, just do what Bill Callahan did with the Raiders and just copy and paste the format, but don't lose. Don't choke is all I ask from Vince and them. But knowing that's too much, I'm praying. I literally am praying that Pritchard and them come there and follow the format from 2013, 14, 15, 16, and so on, because if you don't, there's a lot of fans that have already jumped ship even before this move. So
yeah,
I'm gonna end the thing with, we hope for the best, but we don't know. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. So yeah, man. So Becky Lynch is back, and Brock Lesnar. Personally, like, I don't really care about Brock Lesnar being back. It's just going to be whatever. So I don't really want to spend too much time on that, because it's going to be someone's going to get suplex. It's going to be the same thing. We'll see, you know, but I don't really care too much about that. Now, Becky Lynch coming back, you know, I really don't mind her coming back right now, but I would much rather have seen a longer match than just her coming in squashing Belair like that. What do you think, bro?
I think if you agreed to it in rehearsal, or if you agreed to it, you know, if we knew Lynch was coming back because Sasha supposedly disappears, and you're just like, well, now we have to do something since Punk's back. And Lynch was the closest thing.
Felt that too.
A lot of fans will argue that Lynch is nothing near where CM Punk or Stone Cold or what, you know, whomever. But I think everyone can agree, though, that once Punk decided to have a career rebirth or an epiphany, like, they didn't ask him, oh, no, the fuck they didn't, dude. CM Punk is not adhering to any company rules. Mm-mm. They did not ask him. Punk basically said, okay, I feel like I need to kickstart my career again. And that's when, you know, got winded. Well, here's what I'm going to say.
Bring it back to Becky Lynch.
Okay, well, Lynch, you know, winning the way she did, I'm going to say like this, is she may have had ring rust had she had even a seven-minute match. We don't know. I mean, she looked fine health-wise, but we don't know mentality-wise, can I go this long type thing. So I think maybe it was more of a business concern. And that's why the match was a squash. I know a lot of fans hated it, but I'm going to tell you from the outside perspective opinion type thing, if I was away from the ring for 8 months, or if Ric Flair or Triple H or Stone Cold or Bret Hart in his prime, Shawn Michaels in his prime, was away from the ring for that long, and they came in and faced their opponent, and they were unsure of whether or not they could continue for that long, then, okay, the easy fix is, okay, it's going to be 30, 45 seconds, boom, or not even that long. But I'm not really concerned because, number one, they have a story, and two, it is going to be a story anyways, because you knew once Lynch came back, she was going to either feud with Sasha, which, okay, that one's easy. But Bianca Belair, that's a new element. So
there was no point in squashing. There was squashing Bianca served no purpose. What are you talking
about?
But
if she had a lengthy match, dude, and what if she gets hurt? Even if it's 7 minutes, if she lands the wrong way or bumps wrong, or if she hits a move and it's not sure,
that's,
and it looks
wrestling.
Bad. Okay,
talking about? So you're saying if she had a wrestling match, that's what happens. See, it's
so
go time.
Return to work stupid. No, but if If fans are not getting the point, though, if she comes back and has, even if it's not a Broadway-length match and it's 7 to 8 minutes and something goes wrong, she gets hurt, there goes the fucking ratings, dude. There goes.
What are you talking? Then why bring her back? Then why bring her back in the first place? If you're not prepared to bring her back, she is ready to go.
Push the emergency callback button on her. You say, "Hey, we need you to come to this, you know, event because okay, they're not gonna outwardly say, well, Punk's back, we need you." That's kind of a slap in the face. They're literally gonna If we're sitting here in a wrestling match, and I haven't, but let's say a big name hasn't been back. Let's see, Pac or Kenny Omega. Let's say they haven't been involved in a match for so long, and they're not sure. Do you really want to force them out of their element to be like, okay, yeah, by the way,
then don't put them on TV until they're ready to wrestle.
That's their call.
If they're not
ready
to go, if you're not ready to put them on TV, then don't put them on TV. That doesn't make sense.
Well, you know,
if they're healthy, if I'm a promoter and you're 100% ready to go, this is my big show, I'm not saving you for next month. It's ready now. It's you're in a ratings war now. There is two companies, and if your top talent is ready to go, and she hasn't been gone 8 months, 9 months, she's been gone more than a year. It's game time, bro. You got to send your star players out. What you saving her for? TLC? Elimination Chamber?
I mean, Extreme Rules is coming up, so
so what you're telling me is you would save Becky Lynch and you would have ran that angle at Extreme Rules that showed that more than likely less people is going to be watching in the first place?
Okay,
because,
what
like, let me ask you, are you going to watch SummerSlam live or Extreme Rules live? Because I'm skipping Extreme Rules. I'm watching SummerSlam live. That's the real talk.
Okay. I know I'm not going to get through. No, dude, but I'm telling you, this is from the perspective of what they were probably thinking, which is probably not the brightest idea, but if a wrestler says
what?
He's okay with it, Bianca Belair agreed to do this. So, in other words, you want somebody to blame? Blame the sucking second core, because she was a champion for how long? And people are going to bitch about what?
Like 130 days or something. She said it on SmackDown.
No. Okay, but she's still getting included in the main event. Is she not? She's not getting pushed to the wayside like Mella or Asuka or occasional person who stomps her feet and goes away for about 4 or 5 months and even talks about going to the other company, wink, wink, Sasha Banks.
Bro, you know that Bianca is going to lose her rematch, and then she might not be going at Becky in a month or two. I don't know. It could be over.
We don't know the whole picture.
Just like that.
We don't know the whole picture, but leave it up to chance. They did what they set out to do in wrestling, and even though it's stupid, it got us on a podcast. It got other podcasts talking about it. In their minds, dude, this is the stupidest theory they've ever come up with in WWE. Let's give
it's
them
WWE.
Something to talk
about. I'm not surprised
about.
By dumb things they do.
Well,
I'm
they
not
did
surprised
things
by.
And it's obviously got us talking about it. It's a subject of discussion, even from AEW marks, okay? AEW fans, sorry. They will talk about, oh, did you see the dumb thing WWE did? Well, guess what, fuckers? We all are talking about it. So guess what? Even though we may not agree with what goes on inside a promotion, the thing of the matter is, Becky Lynch may, I don't know what the discussion was in the office. I don't pretend to know because I wasn't there. But I'm pretty sure if someone agrees to do something in a match and you nod your head, yes, I'm okay with this. Okay, everyone wants to get mad. Becky, I'm not mad she's back, but I'm mad that she squashed Bianca. Give me a fucking break. The thing of the matter is, when you, as a worker, shake, your head and say, okay, I'm going to agree to get squashed, then guess what, people? Bianca Belair may have not, you know, won the match or may have not had a 7-minute match, but when you look at the tail of the tape, and probably before the match, I'm probably sure she knew that Lynch was coming back because she's like, on the stupid little WWE reels that you see, as a fan, you'll see the, you know, from RKO to, you know, Bianca Belair to any RK-Bro, I should say. But you will see little tidbits that they will not show you, and but from behind the scenes and what it says, and not in writing, but when you sit there as a worker, you're like, okay, this is how this is going to go. They know before they hit that ring what's going to happen. So my thing is, it's like, we've all been not victimized, but it's like fans, like, we like to complain about every little thing. And my thing, from where I'm coming from, is like, yes, we don't know where Bianca Belair is going to end up later on down the road. We don't. But she's too much of a talent to be just cast to the wayside and jobbing matches with Carmella's dumbass. Sorry, not sorry, dear, but you suck. And two, whoever lets you know, and Zelina Vega, for that matter, they're women who work their ass off, but if they know that they're in a match like SummerSlam, even if it were, hell, dude, even if it was Shotzi Blackheart, or not even her, but Toni Storm, or the caliber of Rhea Ripley, and you knew Becky Lynch was returning, and you were told, by the way, this is going to be a squash. It's not going to be a lengthy match. Just make sure, come in, boom, boom, out, out. You know, boom, I'm going to hit you.
Bro, one, just because they agree to it doesn't mean it's a good decision.
I'm not saying it was a great decision, but if they agreed to it, then yes, whether fans like it or not, man, whether we like it or not, it's the way it is, okay? If they say, they were to have a lengthy match and something went wrong, guess what? Everybody and their brother's mother would be talking about, oh, this went wrong during the match, that went wrong. There's no fucking satisfying anybody in this goddamn world of wrestling.
Bro,
man,
get over it.
What
That's what wrestling
do.
Is. That's what happens. Are you kidding me? So what? If she's been out for a year and she has a wrestling match, if she gets hurt in a wrestling match, that's the nature of the job.
So
what the hell are you talking about?
What?
So you're saying saving her return for, I don't know, Royal Rumble? Keep her off TV for another few more months?
It wouldn't have fucking mattered. You understand, dude? What I'm trying to tell you is it wouldn't have mattered if they had a 6-minute match. Fans would have found something to fucking bitch about.
I understand. I completely understand what you're saying. If you're saying they should have just sent her out there, squashed Bianca, just to keep her safe for some reason, and then have her have another match, have her first match back on whenever, SmackDown sometime or something, Survivor Series, just because we got to keep her safe, even though she's been training every day, ready to call.
Roster, do you think how long they could prolong the fact that Bianca Belair would be champion? No, dude. Her as a champion for how long? Would hold the company for how long?
132 days. 132 days. That's how long she's been champion. She said it on SmackDown.
132 days. Bianca Belair is a
It didn't serve a purpose,
amazing.
Bro.
No, but the
it
thing
didn't do
is,
anything. It did not even help Becky. And what did it do? It didn't make Becky even look any better.
You know where WWE's direction is headed after this, because we know a certain somebody is going to come back during a certain pay-per-view. And we all know we're not going to want her to come back. But, you know, WWE hinges off the old and never seems to want to calibrate
Ronda
into
Rousey
something
new. Ronda Rousey's
currently
pregnant. What are you talking about?
I said eventually. I didn't say when. I didn't say now she's coming back. I said we all know a certain somebody. That could range from anybody, dude. It could range from not Rousey, but it could be Bayley. It could be Sasha. It could be practically anybody from the NXT UK or Kaylee Ray. It could be anybody. What I'm saying is
Bailey's outlet at ACL.
I know this, but I'm saying anybody, any name. I didn't say time. I said a name for Becky to face. Bianca's a name, but their roster's so thin. Who are they going to have Becky Lynch face off with? We all know that it ranges from, you know, whichever roster, because we as fans
don't know
who Becky was going to be faced with. Well, yes. But what I'm saying to you is, as fans, there's some moments there just like, oh, I can't believe they did that. Not just through this time period. There's been every fucking time period since wrestling fans have bitched about, oh, the Montreal screw job. How long has someone bitched about that for the last how many goddamn years? 24? And we still polarize that moment? Or the fact that Attitude Era began and some fans are like, I stopped watching wrestling when it was the Attitude Era. Like, are we fucking serious? Are we going to stop watching wrestling when the Undertaker's streak ended? Yet, tune in to Monday Night Raw the next night. We're going to stop watching wrestling when Becky Lynch won the title in a squash match style. Yet, here some fans are.
No one's comparing the two. No one's comparing. No one is saying that this woman losing her title in a quick match is in the same vein or in the same category as the events that you laid out there. Straight up.
I'm just saying, dude, that's how fans have throughout time have been. I'm not comparing those moments all in one setting. I'm just saying fans complain, which is their God-given right. Because they complain, you can't say, well, fans can't complain. No, I'm saying, but certain fans have said, I became disenchanted with wrestling because fill in the blank. That could be a lot
sure.
of things, but
sure.
Anyways.
yeah. Okay. So did you watch SmackDown this week?
Yes, I did.
Give me a quick rundown on it. How was it? What was the first match, bro?
Let me see. I have it in my notes, actually. It was the Usos versus the Street Profits.
And how'd
the
that go?
The Street Profits actually started off with jawjacking, and then let's see here. Sorry, let me catch my breath, folks. So. One of the highlights is just like the Street Profits actually end up winning that match, and I want to cut like the highlights though. The very first one was like, I think that the Street Profits are trying to stick their nose in family business, blah blah blah. And the Street Profits came out and said, "What do you two think you're doing in the ring? Don't you need a permission slip from Roman to be in that ring?" I mean, it was kind of like reminiscent of New Day, and the Usos not quite the level, but these two are good team. They got good chemistry between each other. I liked it. It was very fast-paced.
Right.
Dawkins. Yeah, so that, you know, that was that. And then, you know, Boogs.
So what else was on that shit, bro?
Yeah, Zeus versus Big, Rick Boog, sorry, versus Ziggler. The fuck
I like that name. It sounds like you're saying Rick Booger.
It's like the wonder Jericho said, I really like this dude, but he needs to change his name. I agree. That match was a very basic match. I think Ziggler and Boogs had great chemistry. And to be quite honest with you, I was kind of shocked that neither Nakamura or Rude got involved. But Boogs
so was
ended
a straight one-on-one
the match.
Bro?
It was a straight one-on-one. There was no up on the apron action whatsoever, and then Nakamura congratulated Boogs after the match. So then, let's see here, the Kevin Owens show, which Logan Paul and Baron Corbin.
Oh, God. Are you kidding?
Yeah. No joke, dude. Logan Paul's back, and it's just like,
oh, that, God.
Yeah, and they were like,
no, no.
But Jackson's going, no, I'm glad I'm here. And then I was just like, what? Am I seeing things again? Is it WrestleMania 37 all over?
Bro,
Baron
is Logan Paul going to be with fucking Baron Corbin? Like, in his corner and shit? Or some shit?
Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, when certain celebrities get involved, it's either good or bad, and I don't know. From a ratings perspective, it could be good, but from a wrestler's wrestling perspective...
So I saw that, like, Baron Corbin, like, isn't sad anymore, and he's, like, won a whole bunch of money, and he's all a cool rich guy now.
He's like the million-dollar man Ted DiBiase said no one ever, but in an annoying country Kansas City version way. I think you know, it's just like the gimmick is like you're supposed to hate him. Who in their right mind has liked Baron Corbin since the day that he started NXT? I don't think anyone. Because the show featured Kevin Owens and... Well, he and Kevin Owens commingle quite well. And it's just like they mesh really well. Kevin Owens hates Baron Corbin. Corbin took a cheap shot. And then Logan Paul just stood there, you know, like a fanboy in the middle of the ring. And it's like, they tell celebrities what to say or what to do? I don't think they do.
Nah.
I think so. Yeah. Well, let's see. Uh-huh. The main event was Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns. So they had a little drama beginning. The Usos beat up Finn Balor, softened him up, and steel steps.
Of course.
And a little dramatic. You know. Then the Street Profits came out, and it was too little too late, in Michael Cole's words. And then the match started because the medics came out and asked Finn Balor if he was okay. It was good back and forth between Roman and Finn. Finn hit the coup de grace, and then at the two count, Roman, I guess, this is kind of funny, inadvertently hit a low blow. Don't you think so, Corey Graves? Like,
did he do the? Which one did he do? Did he punch him in the balls, or did he do that one where like he does like the like he lifts his leg and kicks him in the nuts with his leg? You know what I'm talking about?
No, it was just a straight punch to the balls.
I like when they like have him in like a full Nelson and he kicks him with the back of his leg, kind of. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but he was like in a fucking pinfall. I think it was kind of funny because I was like, I wonder if they went over this like beforehand because Finn's in a pin and then Roman just rolls out with his right hand. Like, inadvertently, bullshit. That looked intentional.
Yeah.
And then Roman, you know, does a little submission maneuver, and then Finn Balor, that's his new thing, is a submission, and the dude fades, and it's like, his hand goes down for one, I was like, what happened to the gimmick where you do one hand down, two, and if he looks like he's fading, I was like, I get it.
Because Roman is so much bigger than Finn, so if he puts that chokehold on him, there's no way he's going to get a fucking heroic comeback. He's just going to fucking choke his ass right out.
Yeah. And that was, there's a little tidbit that I've been liking that I should say. The women's division has a little bit of life because Naomi keeps asking, so when am I going to have my match? When am I going to have my match? And they keep teasing a heel Naomi, and that's really what I'm looking forward to is like, well, Naomi's not involved in this whole shindig. She's probably going to say, well, hey, where's my piece? Where's my cut? You know, I used to be a women's champion once upon a time. And so when she's been constantly asking Sonya Deville week in and week out, hey, when's my chance? And Sonya's kind of blowing her off like, Naomi, I'm on the phone right now. And she straight up gave Sonya the look like, oh, I'm going to get mine. And I have a feeling it's going to be during the contract signing next week at MSG. And it doesn't matter who she attacks, but I have a feeling she's going to attack both Lynch and Belair. And I have a feeling it's going to be a triple threat, or maybe not. But I don't know.
Yuck.
We'll have to see next week at MSG. So.
Oh, God. I don't know if I want to see any more triple threats like ever. I just feel like those never work that well with like anybody.
I Yeah. I just think, let's see here. Okay, that wraps up my SmackDown Live discussion because I literally don't have anything other than, ooh-ah, okay, that was cool, and, okay, you know, that's literally what I have so far, folks, on the SmackDown Live review that was presented to you all, but, you know, let's take a breather from that, and let's take a look back, ladies and gents, at what was, you know, a moment in history. So, before Pizza gets into some AEW, we are going to go back in time just a smidgen, folks, and it seems like it was only yesterday. So let's roll the clip, shall we?
The fourth prestigious King of Stone Cold Steve Austin, an incredible victory. The first thing I want to be done is to get that piece of crap out of my ring. Don't just get him out of the ring, get him out of the WWF. Because I've proved, son, without a shadow of a doubt, you ain't got what it takes anymore. You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. Talk about your Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says I just whipped your ass.
I just whipped your ass.
Fuck yeah.
All these guys go buy him a cheap bottle of Thunderbird and try to dig back some of that courage he had in his pride. As the king of the ring, I'm serving notice to every one of the WWF superstars. I don't give a damn what they are. They're all on the list, and that's Stone Cold's list, and I'm fixing to start running through all of them. As far as this championship match is concerned, son, I don't give a damn if it's Davey Boy Smith or Shawn Michaels. Steve Austin's time has come. And when I get the shot, you're looking at the next WWF champion. And that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so.
Obviously, anything but humble, the fourth prestigious King of the Ring, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Whew. Mm. That got me fired up, bro. Bro. Mm. That got me fucking fired fucking up. Hell yeah. Man, I love it. So AEW go home shows were this week, and Dynamite was all right. Dynamite was okay. Kicked off with FTR and Proud and Powerful. I'm not sure if you're up on what's going on, but Cash fucked his arm up real, real, real fucking bad at one of the shows. Caught his arm on one of the hook that catches the turnbuckle to the ring post type of deal, and fucking ripped his shit. And he's been having issues with his feeling in his hand and whatnot. That's awful, man. And so this might have been their last match together, and it was a fucking sick match, Brian. It was a sick match, Brian. In remembrance of Bobby the Beautiful Bobby, FTR paid tribute by coming out in Midnight Express themed tights, which I really liked. And Santana and Ortiz had their face painted up, which is always pretty cool. They look like characters from Dead Presidents. This was just one of those sick-ass, wild-ass fucking tag matches with a bunch of shit going on. There was a bunch of suplexes and, you know, fucking combo moves and, you know, good Lord, there was a clean-ass brain buster from Harwood, and Cash hit a sick gory the gory buster that Chavo did. Fucking awesome. Real, real tight. Real tight match. Santana Ortiz picked up the win after a bunch of combos. You know, they gave Cash like seven moves in a row and then pinned him. You know, one of those new age tag matches that we get all the time. 2.0 was up next in a promo. They did pretty good. They talked their shit. I like 2.0. 2.0 is always talking shit. I think they're a pretty good tag team. And as long as they keep talking, I think that'll keep people noticing, keep people paying attention to them. Because if you're sitting there dormant, people are passing you by. Then there was an in-ring promo from CM Punk, which was interrupted by 2.0 and Daniel Garcia, and they came out and whooped his ass, and Darby and Sting came out and saved CM Punk. It was pretty cool. Darby, Sting, and CM Punk all did their finishes. I really wanted to point out Daniel Garcia is working a lot. I see him a lot on IWTV, seeing him in Limitless, Beyond Wrestling. He's still young, but he's doing pretty good, and he's making a lot of noise right now. I'm not watching any kind of Kenny Omega promo because he's probably going to be talking like a cartoon character or some bullshit. It's going to be just disingenuous. He sounds like he does phone sex, so I don't know. I don't really like when he's talking. Then another promo, MJF, and a lot of this for me, I skip by it a lot because a lot of these promos are the same and they're not really saying anything that are just really going to blow my mind. And I just don't give a shit about what MJF's going to say. He's probably going to call someone a nerd and he's better than someone else and blah, 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 blah. So MJF was talking shit about Y2J. I don't care. Orange Cassidy versus Jack Evans. This is another thing I just wanted to skip because, I don't know, I don't want to watch it. I'm sorry. I don't want to watch Jack Evans. I don't mind Orange Cassidy, and I think his whole thing is pretty funny, but I just can't watch Jack Evans. I just think they could have gave him somebody else, Orange Cassidy. I just wasn't happy with that. And so the Hardy family organization or whatever the fuck they're called came out to whip on Orange a little bit, but he was saved by Jurassic Express. And next was another promo. Eddie Kingston came out, and if anybody's aware of Eddie Kingston's promo work, he's fucking awesome. He's never really been in that great of shape, but he's a fucking ass kicker, and he loves professional wrestling and his shows, and his promo work is fucking fantastic. I really like Eddie Kingston because he looks like somebody, you know, from down the street, somebody you know. He looks real, you know, and I appreciate that. Next up was the sit down interview with Y2J and Jim Ross. I don't give a fuck. I fast forwarded that. Mox was up next with a promo. He was putting over his opponent for the All Out pay per view, Satoshi Kojima, who is a legend. He is a legend in Japan, and he really put in his time and put in work, and he really had excellent matches over there for New Japan, and then transferred over to All Japan, which was huge at the time, which was basically like John Cena or fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin, just your top guy leaving to go into your competition. And Kojima was the first man to ever hold the IWGP and the Triple Crown title at the same time, which essentially, as I said, was like holding the WCW title and the fucking WWF title at the same time. His match against the then champion Hiroshi Tenzan, when he defeated Tenzan, it was an hour war. It was absolutely fantastic. So Kojima coming here is a pretty big deal. Again, Brian Cage was up against Will Hobbs, Powerhouse Hobbs. I'm not watching Brian Cage ever. I'm sorry. I just don't like it. I don't like him. I personally don't like him, and I think his moves kind of suck, and I think he's just not really there, and I think he's not really there because he has a genuine love of professional wrestling. I think he's just there, and he's doing moves, and he's just hoping to get on and make money, and I can't hate anyone for making money, but I just feel like he just sucks, and he's just disingenuous. And, you know, working against Powerhouse Hobbs, Powerhouse Hobbs is not going to learn anything from this company, and he's only going to pick up bad habits. So I didn't watch this match, so I don't give a shit about it. Up next was Penelope Ford versus Taya Conti. I really like Taya Conti, and I think Penelope Ford is getting better. I would much rather see someone like Penelope Ford than Brian Cage, because Brian Cage is just there, just a muscle guy doing spots, and it just feels like it's just like a video game, man. He's not like, it's just, he's just a robot. And Penelope Ford or Tay Conti, even though they've had a short time in professional wrestling, they seem to just be getting better, and watching them improve is pretty great. And I really enjoy Tay Conti's Brazilian jiu-jitsu offense and her judo style, which was actually pretty fucking cool. Conti picks up the win here, but Ford kicks her fucking ass afterwards, and the bunny comes out, and, you know, they whoop on her a little bit more, so Anna Jay comes out and makes that save, so that was pretty cool. It was nice to see Anna Jay back, coming back from her fucking surgery. She was out for a minute from shoulder surgery, so Anna Jay's back, and she's in the Women's Battle Royal that I'll be speaking about a little bit. Thunder Rosa came out and had a promo, and she was attacked by Jade Cargill and Nyla Rose. After they whooped up on Thunder Rosa, Jade and Nyla had a stare down. That was pretty awkward. In the main event, the elite of Carl Anderson, Big Drew Galloway, and Drew Big Luke, or whatever his name is this time, and the Bucks versus Kenta, Ray, and Jurassic Express. And as you know, if anybody's been listening to what I'm going to describe, how I'm going to describe this match, this was the same shit you would always see. Bunch of flips, of course, Elite, you know, Brian Cage. I mean, why keep saying, I hate Brian Cage tonight. Fuck. the Bucks are going to get their flippy shit in, and Penta and Phoenix are going to do their thing, and that's pretty much what it came down to. And the Elite pick up the win after the Bucks hit the Meltzer driver on Rey Fénix. And so after the match, Kenny Omega came down and dropped the cage, and he wanted to come out and whoop everybody's ass and whatever. And so Christian came out and tried to make the save, and Christian got his ass kicked, and I don't know. I didn't really give a shit about this. I don't really like the Elite. It's boring and stupid. So I was happy for it to be over. But I really don't like the Elite, because I think it's just boring. I just really, really, I don't care. And I want to see more from other people and less of them together. But one thing that I'm really happy about this show is that they put the main event on last. I feel like this match should have been last and not first, because Dynamite has the tendency of doing some sick all-star match like this as the first match, and then they do Adam Page versus, I don't know, some guy from the Dark Order that makes no sense. And that just sends the fans home confused, because or bored. That's really what it is. After I've seen the best match by the end, I just want to go home. So that was the go-home show for Dynamite, and so Rampage was up next. Malakai Black took on Lee Johnson. This was Malakai Black pretty much beat up Lee Johnson. Lee Johnson ate a roundhouse kick, and Lee Johnson sucks. He sucks, man. He sucks. He shouldn't be there. Dustin came out to make a save afterwards. Dustin is going to be Malakai Black's next person. Good promo from Dustin, though. It's pretty awesome. It's great to see Dustin still kicking ass in his 50s. Next up, we had a segment with Miro and Eddie Kingston. That was pretty awesome. Those two guys are going to beat the shit out of each other. Britt Baker comes out with Rebel and Jamie Hayter for the handicap match against Chris Statlander. I don't care who won this, but I'm pretty sure Chris Statlander did. They did a shitty-looking press conference that looked fake to hype up Mox versus Kojima. Up next, there was a Darby and 2.0 promo. I don't really like these, and Darby is really uninteresting because he's always just creepily talking and whispering and saying things like, oh, we're all going to die and blah, blah, blah. I don't care. You know? So Punk is back. You know what it is. Punk is back out, and yeah. Then for the next thing, he came out. When he comes out, somebody in the front row offered CM Punk a drink. And if anybody has a clue in their brain, everybody knows that fucking CM Punk is straight edge. So I really commend CM Punk for laughing it off, but I know inside he was fucking mad. And this was definitely interesting because I kind of glazed over this at first. There was five guys in the booth because there was four to begin with. There was Mark Henry, Excalibur, Chris Jericho, and Taz, and then they shoehorned CM Punk in. And CM Punk was really offering nothing. CM Punk was playing the straight guy to Chris Jericho screaming, who screamed throughout the match. I'm sorry, throughout the show. Daniel Garcia versus Darby was the main event. Daniel Garcia's offense is quite boring. Let me just tell you, he's quite boring. It's very, very old-school style wrestling. Reminds me of Brian. It reminds me of Brian Danielson in like, 2002, which is, there's nothing wrong with it. It's very classic and old-school, but it's effective. And Daniel beat the shit out of Darby for a good portion of this match. Darby ends up picking up the win after this really sweet, nifty little pin. And so after the match, 2.0 came out and kicked their asses a little bit more, and Darby and Punk had a face-off. I just felt that, you know, that was just a little light going into All Out. And speaking of All Out, here's your All Out card, 10-man tag, Best Friends and Jurassic Express taking on the Hardy family or Hardy family office. So hopefully this is the end of the Matt Hardy Orange Cassidy feud. Ladies Casino Battle Royale's on this show. So I think this is probably going to be picked. I think the win is going to be the secret lady wrestler that's going to debut on that night's show, which is tonight. Excuse me. Jon Moxley is going to pick up the win against Kojima. I think Y2J is going to retain against MJF. For the TNT title, we got Miro and Eddie Kingston. Even though I think this is going to be a good hard-hitting match, I see the title staying with Miro. Bucks versus Lucha Bros in the cage. I don't think the Bucks are ever going to lose, so I'm going to go with the Bucks. And let's see, ladies match, Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander. Britt just got the belt. She's not going to lose anytime soon. So I'm taking Britt. Punk versus Darby. It's gonna be Punk, even though I think Darby's going to carry him through the whole thing because Punk is definitely rusty and nervous. So Kenny Omega versus Christian for the AEW title. Omega is definitely keeping that title. Christian is not winning it. I don't see Omega being dethroned until Adam Page comes back from his sabbatical. That's my AEW review for the week, big dog.
Let's see here. All right, folks, this is a point in the show where we have three topics, and we're going to segue into this on the edition. We didn't do it last week. Yeah, I see why not. I mean, we haven't done this in quite some time. Who's up, you or me?
I'm in. I think it's me.
All right. Well, let's just kick this off the right way with cheesy, cheesy intro music.
Let's do it.
Call me, Paper, what do you need? Or creepy advertisement with girls jumping rope and Liberty Mutual Insurance. Liberty, Liberty Mutual. Nothing rhymes with liberty. You know what I mean? So let's do this. That's cheesy shit. So I just got someone messaging me on Instagram, which has nothing to do with the show, and I will gladly take care of that later. So we got 3 minutes on the clock, and Pizza Simpson is on said clock. Well, this gimmick hasn't been used in quite some time, and how long will it last? Finn Balor bringing back the Demon King gimmick.
How long do I think it's going to last?
Uh-huh.
I think it's probably going to last for a minute. They just fired the Fiend. The crowd likes the Demon. And Finn just lost. And we haven't seen it in a while. So I think it probably lasts until WrestleMania.
Thank God. Because they really need that. And moving forward, let's see here. Another subject hand. Let me just play a little clip for you, my friend. This is something new that I like doing, folks. And I know we've got 3 minutes on the clock, but we will extend the time being for that thing. Let's see. Aha. Here we go. Okay, maybe not. Let me see here if I can find it. Where are you? See, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da. Ah, here we go. Something my friend might...
Grand Slam champion. All those fucking toys and posters. You don't mean shit. Getting mugged by fans. And airports, and hotels, and arenas. You don't mean shit. I don't like people anyway. They're not the same. It's not the drug that I love. The drug I've been addicted to for over a decade. Nikki, when you were in jail, pacing around in jail cell. I was pacing around in hotel rooms. And I wanted that drug. We have unfinished business. We have a score to settle it.
Okay, Nick Gage, John Moxley, what do you think?
I love it. I fucking love it. I'm happy as fuck. If John Moxley's going to be fighting anybody, he needs to be fighting Nick fucking Gage. If he wants a death match, he needs to be fighting with the fucking god of this shit. It's Nick fucking Gage. It's MDK all fucking day. Rest in peace. Justice Payne, rest in peace. Neg Hatred. Fucking 326. Fuck yeah, let's go. Next question.
All right, next question. Let's see if I can pull this from the notes. All right, we've extended the time, folks, by 1 minute, so I can just find this little link here. All right, folks, we've extended because, let's see here. So, do we think that Punk's rebirth, actually, I'm going to save this for now because I know this is next week, but actually, I cannot. So... No, not that article. Okay. Do you think Jericho will retire?
Yeah, at some point.
Eventually.
Not now because AEW is a mark for him, and they'll probably give him whatever schedule he wants. And if he slows down, he can milk this fucking contract and milk these fucking guys as long as he wants. I think he can, as long as he's able. So I don't think he's going to retire anytime soon.
I actually didn't need the minute extension. That ends Hot Take, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to, since we, you know, like we're all out of funk, you know, okay. Well, let's take.
That was fucking good. Give me a second. Woo. Let me fucking breathe. Oh, shit. Put me right on the spot after that fucking AEW fucking marathon. I had to fucking call. You're like, okay, we're going to Hot Take.
This is the beauty of Wrestle Radio Network, folks. This is our new format type thing. And by the way,
love
it feels
it.
Great. This is not This is not rehearsed. If you think it's rehearsed, no, we're not reading from sheet of paper. Fuck no. This is not my show that I've been running for 5 years. And I'm glad that Pizza's revamped this, by the way. So we're going to, you know, not going to sit here and, you know, play patty cakes with this shit. This is professional wrestling we're discussing here. This is not Sports Center on ESPN where you have a nice little makeup and all this shit. So we're going to segue into Pizza's segment, folks. If you haven't already done so, you can check him out on his Instagram. And the episodes air 24 hours after on iTunes. You can download it for free. Up until the time we become famous, then we're going to charge your asses the expensive 99 cents. So we'll still make it free, just be nice, right? All right, so ladies and gentlemen, please keep your ears open and on the other side of professional wrestling. Depending on what Pizza Simpson decides to discuss, the following content is not a reflection or direct thereupon upon the following wrestling companies: APJW, GCW, ICW, WWE, Ring of Honor, or any other affiliated wrestling company that Pizza Simpson decides to discuss. Any disclosure or reproduction of this content will be discredited and copyrighted immediately. So, Pizza Simpson, I'm going to give him the floor in just a tidbit, okay? Bear with us. Pizza, take it away.
Here we go. It is so funny that you gave me that little question for number two and how I felt about Moxley and Nick Gage, because let's get right into it. Breaking news, your new GCW champion, John Moxley, folks. John Moxley has defeated Matt Cardona at the Art of War last night in Chicago. Wow, GCW is on a fucking roll. I don't have the full results of that yet. I'm hopefully going to be getting my hands on that show very, very soon. But I can tell you that in the War Games match, can you, first of all, wrap your head, Brian, around a War Games style death match, two rings, cage over the whole fucking shit, scaffold, glass, whole fucking nine. So in the War Games match, we had Team MDK, which was captained by Nick Gage, with Alex Colon, Effie, Matt Justice, and good old Mancer taking on Team 440, who's finally at full strength after the return of Eddie Only. We got freaking Ricky Shane Page, whose blood feud with Nick Gage just doesn't seem like it's ever going to fucking end, my man. We got Ricky Shane Page. We got, yeah, they're killing each other. We got Ricky Shane Page. We got Atticus Colgar, who's the young prodigy, who's having sick matches every time he fucking wrestles. Bobby Beverly, Eric Ryan, two blood freaks who also are awesome, and the returning Eddie Only, who's a little sleazy, which I kind of like. We'll get into that in my H2 overview, and Greg Irons. So Team MDK wins this match, and after the match, Ricky Shane Page tweeted out he's done with death matches, So that leads a lot of speculation what the future holds for Ricky Shane Page. But in the main event, in the open, the GCW Universal Championship Open Challenge, who Matt Cardona came out with a new GCW title that was a spinner belt. Wow, he was really, really working the crowd. I loved it, but a guy dressed all in black showed up. And he unmasked to be John Moxley, and he is your new GCW champion, which led to a stare down with former champion Nick Gage, who's been feuding on and off with Moxley since God knows when, which I want to say WrestleMania, my friend. Let's see, what else? NWA 73 was last weekend, and Nick Aldis's epic historic 1,000-day reign as the NWA champion came to an end when Trevor Murdoch surprised the world and defeats Nick Aldis for the prestigious title. Currently, Nick Aldis is working without a contract, and who knows what the future holds for the former NWA champion. Personally, with the NWA being on the rise, I would like to see him stay with the NWA, because he really embodied and really had that look and aesthetic and feel of what an NWA champion is and should be. He reminded me of Ric Flair in the 80s. I loved it. So that was historic, and also at the NWA Women's Pay-Per-View Empower, we got new NWA Women's Tag Team Champions with Allison Kay and her partner Marty Bell picking up the win and becoming the new NWA Women's Champion. And also at that show, there was a segment with Gail Kim about to get her ass kicked by some chicks I don't know the names of, and Awesome Kong came out and made the save, and Awesome Kong retired. So that's something, man. Awesome Kong has had a really long career, and she's had a lot of excellent matches, but especially her best matches were with Gail Kim. It's unfortunate that due to some injuries and with Globe being canceled due to the COVID situation, who knows what holds next for Awesome Kong, but she had a storied career. Any thoughts on that, bro?
Dude, I'm kind of in shock that Kong retired. I thought she was going to gym Gail Kim, to tell you the truth. And I was like, OMG, Gail Kim's about to get smashed. Poor girl wearing heels, but you know what I'm saying? And then she's just like, if I had to face, matter of fact, I think I'm going to go back to my archives again, folks. I know I'm playing a lot of clips, but unless I was there, I really don't know, what the deal was. So let's see if I can find it.
No, just yet. We still got a lot of show to get through, buddy. We've got a lot of show. We still got Off the Rails to get through. So yeah, man, that's really something. In other news, combat sport legend Minoru Suzuki is coming to America, which I fucking find very, 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 very awesome. Minoru Suzuki has been around and involved in combat sports since the early 90s with when he and Masakatsu Funaki, they left New Japan to form one of the earliest forms of MMA, Pancrase, the Pancrase organization, which was supposed to be real wrestling. It was based on the ancient Greek art of pancration, and Pancrase saw many MMA stars like Ken Shamrock, Frank Shamrock, Vernon White, Guy Metzger, Baz Rutten. These were your early stars. And when Minoru Suzuki's time with Pancrase slowed down, he easily transitioned back to wrestling. And he's one of those old school shooter wrestlers whose knowledge of submission wrestling is absolutely is so advanced, and he is pretty much a human torture machine. Even in his later years, he's still putting on high quality matches. I've personally seen him just annoy Kenta Kobashi, who's the stoic, you know, face of fucking badassery, who would just clean your fucking clock. And here you have Minoru Suzuki, who's just this annoying little prick who just keeps waiting for his moment to lock on an arm fucking lock, a chokehold. And Suzuki is a multi-time champion, winning the GHC title, winning the prestigious Triple Crown. So having Suzuki in America is fantastic. His opponent while in America is going to be Daniel Garcia. I keep talking about this guy, right? His name keeps popping up in my reports. He's got Daniel Garcia. He's got Calvin Tankman, who I am such a big fan of, because he is just a big fucking badass. Probably 6'2", 250, no fucking muscle, just a big fucking belly, just a fucking badass dude, but he still pops a flip off where he fucking clobbers you with a goddamn enziguri or a lariat. Calvin Tankman is somebody that we need to be paying attention to, and he is making noise in MLW. He's taking on former Ring of Honor world champion Homicide, which is going to be an absolutely excellent match, and which another one that I'm looking forward to. He's taking on for GCW. Minoru Suzuki is taking on. He's taking on Jonathan Gresham. And if anybody is in the know and in the notes, they know that Gresham is a technical wizard. And he is the current ROH pure champion. So that's my news and tidbits. But I got a review of my birthday show. H2O, the hardcore hustle organization, Matt Tremont's federation out of New Jersey, which is one of my favorite sets because it has a great storyline going of Matt Tremont's federation, of Matt Tremont's company versus Ricky Shane Page's 440 group, who is the current champion, who's pretty much running roughshod. The show kicks off with an excellent shot of a barbed wire ring, and Matt Tremont cutting just an absolute fucking insane promo. One of Matt Tremont's strong suits is his excellent promo, his promo skills, and he's coming out of retirement to take on the legend Onita in an explosion match on October 31st. I'm really fucking excited for that. So the show kicks off with Matt Tremont in the ring, screaming his guts out and laying down the show, and this is gonna be a good one. Matt Tremont is sending out White Trash Forever to take on the team of Ricky Shane Page and Bobby Beverly and the Bev, and they are the world champion and tag champions respectively. And all titles will be on the line in that match. That was a great start. I really, really was happy with that one. The first match was D.G. Everson and Ryan Redfield. These guys were kind of ugly, but they had a good fucking match, man. D.G. Everson turned a spear into a power. He reversed the spear into a spine buster, which I really fucking like. And Gigi picks up the win after Redfield reverses a Uranagi. And for some reason after that, the referee tore his shirt off and quit. The next matchup was Hanaya versus Jenny Rose. This was Jenny Rose picking up the win with a roll-up. I didn't really care about that. Who cares? So some dude ran out named Chondo. He challenged Alex Colon to a death match. That's going to be fucking gross, because Alex Colon is a freak and he loves to bleed, and so that's going to be wild. Next, in your next match, Connor Claxton was taking on Reed Walker. This was the this was a case of the old vet taking on the young upstart. Reed Walker is pretty good, man. Connor's been around for a while. He's an old CZW guy. It's cool to see all these old CZW guys picking up work and actually working somewhere. Reed Walker works a kind of submission style, and he picks up the win after choking out Connor Claxton. Reed Walker calls out Brandon Turk for Hustle Mania. Hustle Mania is the big hustle show, which I really like. I like that they threw on Mania on there. It really tells that if you put Mania on something, that's how you know it's a big show. Brandon Kirk came out, and instead of attacking the young Reed Walker, he tells him he'll see him at the big show. Here's something I like, bro. With these smaller feds, they don't have table matches anymore. TLC matches, they have door matches because it's much much cheaper. So in a fatal four-way door match, Declan Grant, Devin Moore versus Mouse and some dude I didn't catch the name of, and they were taking on the former champions Ross and Bradley and Mitch Valen and Chuck Payne, who are just two big monsters. They beat the shit out of each other for a fucking long time and put each other. It was fucking sick. It was a good match, man. This was a good fucking show. Mouse and his partner that I didn't catch the name of, I'm sorry, that really makes me look unprofessional. They won. Mouse and his partner are the number one contenders for the tag team titles, and they will be taking on the winner of the Bobby Beverly and Eric Ryan main event. This was a good show, man. This was a good show. There was a promo from the referee who quit. He's having a match with some guy. I had to go get some more Hawaiian Punch, so I didn't know. I missed the promo, man. I'm sorry, but I'll be real. I had to go get more Hawaiian Punch. Greg Iron took on True Blood for the hybrid title. Greg Iron's from the 440 group, who's pretty much in control of all the titles. Greg Iron picks up the win after Eddie Only interferes, and Greg picks the win up with a pile driver. I wouldn't let a guy with one arm giving me a pile driver. I think that'd be pretty unsafe. This kept Eddie Only out in the ring. Eddie Only is this he's a short guy with tattoos and like a sleazy mustache. He's just gross. I fucking love him. He's always smoking cigarettes. He looks like he stinks. That whole group looks like they stink. So he took on the young plucky upstart Kennedy Copeland, who's been just having good matches with everybody. during this match, they did that comedy spot where the face goes for a sunset flip, and then they pull the person's trunks down, and then it either shows their butt or something. And so Kennedy Copeland pulls down Eddie Only's pants, and he is wearing a pink thong. So he did the match. He did the match in his underwear in a pink thong for a bit. that was funny. Kenny Copeland picks up the win after she reverses a move into a nice armbar. It's pretty fucking sick, man. Eddie Only attacks after the match, but she was saved by Dan O'Hara, who challenges Eddie Only to a match at Hustle Mania. And in one of those, and a fucking fantastic death match, man, for the Deadly Havoc title, Atticus Colgar defeats Marcus Mathers, who's the rookie of the year for H2O. This was gross. Man, they beat the shit out of each other. This was nasty. So at one point, Colgar was just torturing this guy, man. He took a bunch of tacks and really jabbed it into his fucking head. And so he had so Miz had like fucking 1,000 fucking skewers on each side of his head, and Sammy bashes him in the head with a bunch of glass. It was fucking gross, man. It was really, really gross. Oh, such a good miss. I'm really happy. I really am. Like, this show is really gonna make me look. Is making me look forward for. Making me look forward to Hustlemania. So the main event, White Trash Forever, the team of Ron Mathis, Tyler Vox, and Bruce Gray is taking on Ricky J. Page, The Bev, and Eric Ryan. And speaking of guys who look like they stink, The Bev looks like he stinks, man. This was awesome. This was a good brawl, and this ended after some funny business from the referee, and so 4-4 keeps their title, but so they continue to kick the asses of the guys in the ring, and we hear Matt Tremont's music come hit the speakers, and everybody's excited. The Bulldozer looks like he's back, and so he has a standoff with Ricky Page, and then fucking 4-4 attacks him. They're kicking Matt's ass, so the entire locker room clears the ring, and so Matt still owns the company. He sets a bunch of matches for. He sets a bunch of matches. Whoops. Excuse me. He sets a bunch of matches for Hustlemania, and in the main event of Hustlemania, we will have a barbed wire cage match. Ricky Shane Page will be taking on Chuck Payne, Ron Mathis, and Devin Moore in a barbed wire cage. Really excellent show. Street Justice was probably H2O's best show since Hardcore Kingdom 5. I really enjoyed this show, and I'm looking forward to Hustlemania. That's a slice of pizza, folks. Boom.
And, folks, if you want to catch the recap of the amazing Pizza Simpsons segment, Slice of Pizza, BET Dubs, man, you can head over on our social media page. We'll be posting religiously now this entire episode, which is free on iTunes. And as I said earlier, it'll be 99 cents or $1.99, depending on how fancy dandy I feel. Okay. But now, we are getting into the nitty-gritty, which is basically, let's see, we got plenty of time. I have plenty of time to, how do I put off the rails? So.
Oh, yeah, we did it, buddy.
We got it. We got this. I got this. We, you know, we, whomever. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the following content does contain expletives. And in other words, I got more F-bombs than D-Day. So if you have minors under the age of 18, please ask them to plug their ears. And if they do listen to this and get detention because of moi, because school is now back in session, even though there is a pandemic going on, which we will not touch because this is not a political show, I am not responsible for the amount of punishment they receive after hearing this segment. The following content also contains viewpoints and reflections that do not directly reflect upon the following companies discussed, AEW, WWE. Circle those two because I do not talk ever about Ring of Honor, and I'm sorry, apologize in advance. NWA, ECW, ICW, and the following content. So, without further ado, you know, this is nice, but enough banter. It, which is not my music, and I can see because CM Punk has returned. So, music, gentle folk. Let's see here. Hit the music, take two.
Look in my eyes.
Okay, ladies and gents, let's get down to brass tacks. Once upon a time, someone said. There's a lot going on around wrestling. And I'll let my co-host talk about this next week. There's somebody that returned tonight for AEW. There's also someone that signed with AEW. Again, we will all chat about that next week. So tonight, there's a lot on my mind lately. It's been concerning both AEW and WWE. Now, granted, I've caught tidbits of AEW. I've caught tidbits of WWE. Main focus would probably have to be on the simple fact that after watching NXT, it's like, wow, are we reversing fields? We're going back to the 1996-97 style of format. It looks like very old school Cracker Jack, pull a heel out of the box and let's have him go against this baby face, the women's division. It's just one of them things where I'm confused. I'm like, which version of NXT are we going for? Because there's one side of NXT that has featured Tommaso Ciampa feeding with Pete Dunne. It's not like these two have not faced each other. Also, I don't know who keeps posting this shit, but no, NXT UK is not dissolving. It has not been made official on WWE's website. So whomever keeps posting that shit, please stop. I'm really at the point, boiling point, with people who post something and it's just like, can you please read before you spout off posting on social media, because it's not going to sit well with certain people. It's not going to sit well with me. Not that I'm anybody important, but, you know, here's the thing. NXT UK has probably not been as publicized as NXT. And no, they're not dissolving the championships and as of September 7th. Whomever posted that shit, please stop. I am well aware that we've discussed Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard and them coming to the company. Allow me to shed some insight on how this is going to feel. Laurinaitis is one of those guys that if you don't straighten up, fly right, and go by his word, it's bye-bye. Same, you know, if Vince McMahon doesn't catch, if he did not catch his attention, by far that's going to be like the worst thing in the world for anyone on that roster. As far as AEW is concerned, holy shit, the list of names just keep pouring in. But what are they going to do with them? That's my thing. CM Punk has literally reinvigorated their entire roster. He literally has. Because, I'll say it again, if it were not for him, AEW would still exist and still beat WWE in ratings. However, once they hit that roadblock and they run out of shit to do, had he not signed. He saved their fucking bacon, is what I'm trying to tell you. And his rebirth ultimately lit a fire, hopefully, under WWE's ass. And it's showing. It is showing, because on the main roster, I've not noticed anything. It's just, well, it's improved. It has not improved to the point where I'm going to start religiously watching it over and over. SmackDown Live is one of those shows I've always had an affinity for their show. Raw, here and there. I mean, I really haven't kept up with WWE stuff. I mean, I've watched it on replay on Hulu because it's a lot simpler than watching commercial break and then going in and out of the room and typing up my memoir. Sorry, folks. Sometimes their material, when it's shown on TV, is not very intriguing. I know it's going to offend them when they hear this and not hear this. I know they don't listen to every little fucking podcast that they get their hands on. It seems AEW does, and you'll hear about that next week because Pizza Simpson and myself discussed a little bit about that before the show, so I'm not going to disguise it, but a certain tag team finally fucking lost, and all I can say is it's about damn time you took note of what almost caught myself there, bad thing I did, so good thing you did,
That's all I'm going to tell you. And I'm glad that there's somebody that returned tonight on AEW. I love giving mystery sentences out on live air. But moving forward, again, to reprise the whole Punk theory that, yes, he did revive wrestling. And today's wrestling, yes. Because he didn't? Okay. There are certain people that will latch on to whatever wrestling they pertain to that are wrestling fans. And what Punk did initially was, I'm here, so now what? Now they have to, AEW and WWE have to step up their game. Ever since Punk returned, this is how crazy this is, folks. I went on Redbubble and ordered me a CM Punk mask. I mean, Jesus Christ, I haven't seen dude in ring in 7 years, and I'm already ordering his shit. There's something going on here. I mean, is it called a movement? Yes. Is NXT going to flunk, or, you know, are they just going to constantly float? I don't know. Honestly, to answer my own question, what I'm going to tell you is, I firmly believe that NXT, from the direction that they're headed, they need to shake things up. They need to seek Mauro Ranallo. I know he's not apt for coming back, but I wish he was. Because my concern is, if you keep Beth Phoenix and Wade Barrett and Vic Joseph, it's going to make for a very difficult time of watching NXT, since Vic Joseph is the only one with emphasis. Wade Barrett emphasizes way too long, and Beth Phoenix is more so concerned about a proposal. Or not just that, but she's more concerned about making analogies make sense, and this is wrestling where nothing's supposed to make sense, in my opinion. Especially at the commentary table with WWE. Makes it a lot simpler if you have a play-by-play, a color heel, and someone that can contrast that style. And no, I don't mean Michael Cole Jr. and Vic Joseph. Dear God in heaven, please help. Please help NXT. It's on life support. Not really, but I mean, has been that way, seems like, for the last year and a half when they floated the idea of break apart, undisputed, they have no one to challenge them. They instead of, like, batting around ideas, they're just like, fuck it, pull the plug. That's just essentially how I feel, guys, about this whole fucking thing, you know, with Vince, Bruce, and them coming over. It's like they already have ideas that have hit the brick wall, and they already have ideas and concepts that have hit the brick wall. Now they want to bring in a guy that, as my partner had mentioned and stated earlier, is a gimmick dude. And this is not main roster. Yikes. We have Laurinaitis coming in and producing. Yee. I wish that Nick Khan would see it this way, but maybe you don't. If we're all about making money and merchandise and getting ratings, here's the thing. The demographics for NXT from the ages of 18 to 49 are not that high. That number has actually dwindled within the last 3 to 4 weeks. So if we want to get this ball rolling, folks, please pay attention to your fucking stats. And if you notice, when Ciampa's on TV, and not just him, when Gargano's on TV, certain wrestling fans do tune in. But to spice up NXT, you're going to need a lot more than Ciampa and Gargano. You're going to need a whole fucking army. Make it look better, feel better, have that organic feel that it had in 2013, not the 2009 feel where they're doing beer keg challenges where, wow, even then Titus O'Neil just flew head over heels for that one, didn't he? What I'm gathering, folks, is amongst this fucking random rambling of mine is, I'm not so sure about Vince coming to the territory of NXT. I say territory because it should be that feel. You know, competing you know, within the same company but different type of brand. Now NXT is getting the feel of Maine, where everyone's picking up a microphone before their match or before something even goes down. You're seeing a lot more backstage interviews, more so than usual. NXT used to be a show where you'd have a match, you would have a brief segment, and then it would segue into a match. Now it just feels like we're kicking it old school. And did I have you on mute? Shoot. I'm sorry. I don't know if I touched that button.
Here,
oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, brother.
You're good, bro.
Okay, so basically, essentially, what I'm trying to say is it's not the same feel, and now it's getting even worse because people are under the impression that NXT is going to sink further than the depths of the fucking Titanic. And that's not a good feel, because at least when Triple H was running the ship, it was clear waters, no iceberg ahead. With Vince and, you know, the two Ringling Brothers, Laurinaitis and Pritchard, no offense. I mean, I love Pritchard. He's a nice dude. I've had the pleasure of being around him one time in 2016. But outside of that, you know, it's uncharted waters. The talent really doesn't know what to think. They're already blending NXT UK and NXT, as you've seen. So they're cross-promoting, which is not a problem. But we don't know if guys like Walter, Dragunov, oh, who else? We don't know what the length of careers are going to have, you know, that are guys that have the height. They have the look. They have that bodybuilder, you know, I'm larger than life and everyone better lay down for me type feel. That's something you think that, oh, well, that's the old school type feel that Vince has. I'm like, no, I don't know if they're going to keep this the same, keep the product the way it, you know, not the way it is now, but something needs to give. You can't just be straight wrestling matches the entire time for NXT. You got to have a cage match. You have eventually one that has a build for that said cage match. Or if, since it's near as extreme rules, give NXT a takeover. Because there's got to be something that when Vince comes there and tries to prove the naysayers, like, I can do this, there's got to be something for him to gravitate towards. Can't just be, oh, let's pick up a microphone, and I'm feuding with this person, so I'm pretty sure the conversations are going to be like, okay, I'm pretty well aware that this person, LA Knight, shooting with Cameron Grimes, why don't we liven it up a bit? Okay, boss, what do you want? Okay, my best analogy for Vince McMahon is that, as a Raider fan, he's like Al Davis. He speaks his mind and defends whomever he's with and very loyal to it. But when push came to shove, Al Davis was not the greatest owner. Because why? Essentially, what happened in the draft in the 90s with the Raiders? Really, really bad juju. We were terrible. And then 98, 99, 2000 came. 2001, we were great. And then boom. Similar to Vince. Vince is great if he has the players that can execute the plays. But if he doesn't have the players that can execute the plays, there tends to be a mode of panic on his end. And I mean, and others have seen it. I mean, he doesn't have Taker. He does not have Austin. He does not have Foley. And The Rock's doing Hollywood. Cena's in and out of Hollywood. What does this have to do with NXT? If he doesn't have mainframe players, then what's he going to do? How's he going to work from scratch on a roster he's not familiar with? I mean, he watches the material and he used to tell Hunter, hey, I want to take a gander at this superstar so and give them the call-up. I think they're ready. Now he's reversing fields? What is the old man going to do? He's probably laughing his ass off going,
I'll show them. Ho, ho.
I mean, just picture him coming to the offices in Orlando. Can we picture him going to Orlando and shaking hands with all the superstars that are in the beginning, intermediate, and advanced classes through NXT? Not just that, folks, but I'm going to take a breather for a minute to gather my thoughts about NXT, and I'm going to just point out that if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on Wrestle_Radio on Instagram, WrestleRadioNetwork.com, on Twitter @_BrianRails or BTrain05000 on Twitter. Those are our social media handles. You can reach us directly on there after the episode or during or whenever, and we'll be glad to answer your questions. So to wrap this whole shindig up, because it's approaching late hours, and it is Labor Day tomorrow, and who gives a rat's behind, a rat's ass about it. But I'm going to tell you is the following. Vince McMahon running this show is a big, big, big question mark for anybody that's a part of whatever brand NXT. NXT's colors are horrible now. They changed the colors. They changed the logo. Don't know what the revamp change look and outlook is for, but I'm telling you right now, that's kind of a toss-up, folks. It's up to you. I mean, I'll still watch just to compare and contrast and take notes because my job, and that's sad-sounding saying this, but NXT used to be not a chore to watch. But if Mauro Ranallo was a part of the fucking broadcast, if Jim Ross was a part of the broadcast, or even Corey Graves, Byron Saxton, and Percy was a part of the fucking show, I would watch religiously. But now, as I said, it's up to all of us whether we want to watch them, AEW, Ring of Honor, or whatever. Vince joining this side of the tracks? I don't know. Just like Brian Cashman running shit for the Yankees. So, with that being said, if you didn't like what good old Brian Reynolds or Pizza Simpson had to say, then I got three choice words for you. Get about it.
Suck my ball.
Pizza Simpson, any send-offs you'd like to give?
Yeah, man, thanks for listening, man. See y'all next week.
Toodles, bitches, we got to get some shut-eye, so we'll catch you on the flip side, all right? Good night. Happy Labor
Day. Catch you on the flippy floppy.
Catch you on the Good night. All right. Let's do this. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality. The cult of personality, the cult of personality.